You know, I think the older we get in life, the more joy we see from the kids. Owen, that kid has got it, doesn't he? I mean, I think if we had his mentality in our life when we get older, life would be much different, wouldn't it? Just his enthusiasm and his excitement and his who cares. That would be kind of infectious if that were to take over, amen? You know, but God is good, and I am thrilled to be back with you guys today. It is truly an honor to stand in this pulpit. I know many men in the past have shared God's word with you, and I do not take this lightly. It is an extreme joy to share God's word, and I always even look forward to what God asked me to share with you, because there's something each time you come to church, whoever's speaking, that you can grab that'll encourage you during the week, or maybe motivate you to reach out to somebody and share Jesus with them. And it's so important because our world needs Jesus, amen, especially with what we're going through now. So I would just like to start by saying I would love to believe that every one of us gathered here today have had a very eventless last week. You know, a week where you heard no negative news reports about things happening local as well as around the world, and a week where everything that you personally worked on turned out just the way you planned it. Gosh, can I get an amen on that? That always happens, doesn't it? No problems, no issues, never happens, you know. But unfortunately, we all know that's not the case in life. Unfortunately, because of Adam and Eve, their choice to eat an apple, you know, and that's been discussed for generations throughout church ministry, is who ate the apple, whose fault is it, doesn't matter. The problem is, because of that, life as we know it today will always revolve, I would say, around challenging situations. And if I were a betting man, which I'm going to clarify right now because I'm in the pulpit, I am not. But if I were a betting man, I would actually wager that some of us here today, with this many people gathering together, have already struggled with some kind of challenge even before we got to church today. Now, those challenges can be huge, they can be small, but distractions. We're here to learn about God, and there's an enemy that wants us to not be here. Satan does everything in our lives to distract us from hearing what God has for each of us. So I am thankful, truly joyful, thankful, that you chose to push through the challenge and be here today. It would have been much easier to sit at home and listen to it recorded down road, but it's because you're here that God is allowed to speak directly to you and share with you much needed, and this is for me too, much needed instruction to help navigate us through the upcoming week's challenges, because there's going to be challenges that we'll face this week. For some of us, it might be a flat tire when we're moving our horses. You know, and it just, challenges just happen in life. And there's good news. No matter what, God's always in control. He's got it, church. He does. He is in control. And how many of you here today, whether you are a member of Locust Grove, or you're a guest joining with us today, or maybe you're even sitting at home and you're listening to this down road online, would be willing to admit that everything that is recorded in this book is accurate and truth. Amen. I mean, seriously, when we think about this, the amen should happen, because everything that is recorded in this book is true, and we can count on its reliability. And I would also assume that you would also agree that by reading your Bible or this book, what is written in this book makes a person assume that we are actually probably living in the near end times. I mean, if you read this book, if you've read it from Genesis to Revelation, there's a lot of things that have transpired in our eyes, in our lifetime, that are coming true. And I never believed that we would personally witness living in a time where people publicly disrespect God and fall away from the truth of Scripture. And the crazy thing is, they're not even concerned about the situation. And I know that every generation before us has had their own assumption that they were living in the last days. But by viewing our nation's current spiritual condition, as I call it, It's hard to believe that we're not. Our nation's falling apart right before our eyes, church. And so what do we do about that? What can we do about that today? What can we do to help, I use the word redirect, the spiritual condition of our nation, keeping it from upcoming imminent destruction? Now think about that thought. Let's go to the Lord in prayer. Lord, it is good to be in your house. God, I pray right now for the next few moments that you are able to clear our minds of distractions, that you are to able to clear our mind of the challenges that we are thinking about facing this upcoming week or the challenges we faced last week. God, I just pray for the next few minutes that you can open our ears and our eyes and our minds to what you have for us specifically. God, I pray the words that you share with us today, they uplift us. They help encourage us throughout the week and just give us the ability to possibly even share our testimony with somebody that needs to hear that in the outside world. God, I thank you for Jesus Christ and the difference that he makes in each of our lives. The sacrifice that you made by sending your son to earth and just the difference that he made in all those lives that he touched back then, clear to today. Lord, I ask you to help us to live for you and be strong in our belief and trust in what you say is true in the Bible, because it is truth. In Jesus Christ's name we pray. Amen. You know, I would think that as a nation, we would all agree our nation needs a reboot. It really does. And when I say reboot, I'm talking about going back to the basics. We have gotten so far off the path of what God created us for. Technology is our friend, Jim Bob. It's our friend and our enemy, isn't it? It truly is, and it can be a distraction. And here's the catch, guys. And when I say church, you're the church. It's not the building. It's people. It's people. And when I say if the people decides to sit back and do nothing about the obvious, which is the spiritual condition of our nation, we, just like many generations before us, have no room to complain about it. It's like the election. If you don't like the structure of our government right now, if you didn't vote, you don't have a say. You really don't. If we decide to do nothing about that, we can't complain about the situation our country is in. And honestly, we are in the direction, by what I read in God's Word, we're falling in the path of a spiritual reboot. God is in control. We are not. And he is going to take action. Now, I hope and pray that we don't witness that in our lifetime, but we very well could. And if you read your Bible, you cannot help but notice that God is God of both love and compassion. He truly is. He loves everybody. First of all, he loved us enough that he chose to create us. You're here. You're here. You're here. You're here. You're here. He thought enough of us to create you. You're special in his eye. And you know, God loves us enough that he created us. And that's the first point. The second point is this. He gave us the opportunity. He gives us this ability of free will. I love the option of free will. And you're either choosing to live a spirit-filled life with God in the center of it. Everything you do focuses around what God's Word says. You do your best to live life in a God-honoring way. Or you choose to live life where God is found nowhere in it. Now, those that aren't here today are more than likely, the bigger percentage of them, are choosing to live life without God. Well, it could be as simple as they've just never been introduced to God. You know, but they are choosing to live life without God. And being totally honest with you today, we cannot continue to just sweep our actions as a nation underneath the rug, trying to hide them from God, because God sees all. He's omnipresent. He's everywhere. He's all-knowing. And we shouldn't be shocked or surprised when he has finally had enough. And his love and compassion turns to disgrace and disgust. It doesn't mean God doesn't love us. He does love us. He loves you very specifically. He knows your name. He knows how many hairs are on your head. He knows the things you do, the thoughts you have. He knows what we're going to do tomorrow. We don't. And I do know this. God's plan for mankind never included. This kind of hits us below the belt as a nation. God's plan never included mass school shootings and the taking of innocent lives. That was not his plan. That was not his plan. God's plan for mankind never included men falling in love with other men and women following suit. That's not God's plan. God's plan never included people using their God-given talents to kill an unborn child. Not his plan. You know, God's plan never included a people whose vocabulary blasphemies the Holy Spirit, the Creator himself, daily, and they don't care. Very dangerous place to be, church. God's plan never included churches being forced to close their doors from lack of attendance. God's plan, and I'm 100% positive that God's plan never included a person entering into heaven without the knowledge of who Jesus is and how he and only he can change a person's life through his forgiveness of sin and his grace. That's a dynamite amen spot, church. You know, it's all about Jesus. It truly is. And Vernon McGee, he's an American theologian, once said, catch this, this is so powerful. One of the greatest delusions of our time is that man is going to improve himself and his world, that he is going to build the kingdom of God without God. He, referring to man, expects to bring the millennium without Christ. Bring in the millennium, I'm sorry. You know what? We can do nothing without Christ. Without God in the center of your life, we really do nothing. We just exist. How many people die each day and they don't know who Jesus is and they were just here for that time? They missed it. They might have accomplished great things in life and they think that they're just the most awesome people ever. But unless they have Jesus living inside them and directing their daily step, they just existed. And it's sad, you know. He, man, expects to bring in the millennium without Christ. We can do nothing without Christ. You know, we have to face the facts. Our world is currently spiraling directly towards destruction. Unless God, this is powerful. Unless God can find a remnant, a small group of people to help or to do something about redirecting its path. A small group. You know, seems like an impossible task, doesn't it? Looking at our world, watching the news. I hate watching the news. It's so depressing. They always talk about the negatives. Where's the positives? Where the kids throwing a frisbee in the park and the dog catches it. That still happens, but they don't tell you that. They tell you about another race of COVID that's coming out there. Welcome to the flu. You know, and it's just crazy. It seems like an overwhelming task. And what can a group this size, maybe 50, I would say, what can we do today? And God always uses the few to do the impossible. That's the business he's in. Let me share some scripture with you real quick. I don't have a lot of scripture, but I am going to share from the book of Genesis. If you have your Bibles, we're going to be in chapter 7 real quick at the end of that and just read 7:23 through 8:1. And what I'm saying is God uses the few to do incredible things. Genesis chapter 7, it's the first book in the Bible. Beginning towards the end in verse 23, referring about God. He blotted out every living thing that was on the face of the ground, man and animals and creeping things and birds of the heavens. They were blotted out from the earth. This is the cool part. Only Noah was left, and those who were with him in the ark. The waters prevailed on the earth 150 days, and then verse 8, or chapter 8, verse 1. But God remembered Noah and all the beasts and all the livestock that were with him in the ark, And God made a wind blow over the earth, and the waters subsided. You see, after reading this, I look around the room, and I hope what God sees is heart, is a willingness, is a option to say, God, I am willing to step up to the challenge to make a difference. And a willingness basically just to serve Him. You see, in Genesis chapter 7, verse 23, verse 8, 1, we just read where God used 8 people. We're 50. 8 people to change the world. Really, is it an impossible task? It sure seems to be, but with God in charge, is it? Absolutely not. Absolutely not. You know, this is what breaks my heart about this story of Noah, is not everyone got in the ark. I don't know how many millions actually died that day, but let me tell you what, the people who mocked God, the men who love men, the women who love women, the people that blasphemed the Holy Spirit without concern, they're the ones found outside the boat, fighting for their lives, and sadly ended up losing that battle. Watch the news, read a paper. There are millions of people fighting outside the ark, and it's all, and soon it's going to be too late. You know, it's heart-wrenching to me. Having the opportunity in life to serve by simply asking Jesus into your life. But due to the prideful spirit of people, of man, the pride, God was forced to do a worldwide reboot. Does not mean that God does not love us. Does not mean that God has compassion. It means God gets frustrated. He expects a lot from us, church. He expects a lot of you. And why would I say that? Because He breathed air into your nostril. He created you. It's not an accident that you're here. It's a purpose. He's got something planned. And you know, throughout the Bible, we read story after story where God had to do spiritual reboots on people's lives. We're nothing different. We're just a later timeline in life. And sadly, many of the reboots could have been avoided by them simply asking Jesus to forgive them of their sin. These could have been avoided by somebody from Locust Grove going to somebody they work with and say, "Why do you cuss so much?" in a conversation and say, "God loves you. I love you enough. I want to share something with you. I want to share my testimony with you. I want to share what God did for me, how He changed my life, redirected it." You know, my question is for each of you today is this. Do you have a personal relationship with Him? I can't answer that. Do you have a personal relationship with Jesus? Have you asked Jesus into your life by asking Him this tough question? Forgive me of my sin. You know, people get confused about sin. Sin is, it's many hidden identities. It's blaspheming the Holy Spirit. If you take the Lord's name in vain, there's a sin. Kids, if you talk back to your parents, there's a sin. I was there. I used to do that. You know, parents, if we cuss, if we steal. I mean, there's so many sins that are out there, and they're simple sins. It's paper clips. It's as simple as a paper clip from an employee. You know, and all we have to do is ask Jesus to forgive us of our sin and do a reboot in our life. And it's so simple. I always tell the kids when I'm teaching kids, it's ABCs. Man, I learned my ABCs in church a long time ago. Admit you're a sinner. B, believe that Jesus is real and that He died on the cross for you personally. And then C, the toughest part is our pride. C, confess. Have a prayer just between you and God and ask Him to forgive you of the mistakes you've made in your life and authentically ask Him to come into your life and change you. Your ABCs. I don't know how many times Jim Parsons taught me my ABCs in school. But that's just what we do. We've got to admit, we've got to believe, and we've got to confess. We've got to make this life-changing decision. It's the greatest decision of your life. It's life-altering. It's life-changing. It's a difference maker. And there's no greater calling in this life than serving the one who created you. I'd like to share with each of you a very simple and challenging question right now. And this gets personal. What is God asking you to do for Him today? And as you're thinking about what God might be asking you to do, I also want to share, I completely understand that serving God and living a sacrificial lifestyle can be a very heavy weight to carry around as we navigate through life. You know, it's very few are called. That's what Scripture says, because few will accept that call. You know, I'm just going to share. I was asked by God just recently, and I mean, He still speaks to us through Spirit. He gives us a brain. God recently reminded me the importance of me stepping back into the pulpit and preaching the Word of God. I guess you could say I'm on vacation. It's a terrible word, but I think it's more rehabilitating. Ministry is hard. You guys have no idea what pastors face on this side of the table. Because, unfortunately, we deal with people. People can be just downright mean. I mean, there's been many times in ministry, if I wasn't a pastor, I'd slap them with a fish. VeggieTales. I love that. VeggieTales. If you ever see the kids' show, I would like to, but I don't. You know, I was recently asked by God, what are you willing to do for the kingdom? I called you years ago into to ministry. Are you with me? Are you in the boat? Or are you outside knocking? The boat's the safety. The outside is, you can still ask for forgiveness right before you die, but you're going to be so frantic, you're probably going to forget to do that. You know? It was at that moment that God reminded me of my calling, the importance of me stepping back into the pulpit and preach. You see, from a pastor's perspective, building the kingdom is a relatively easy request. There's three things. You guys know what this is. For a pastor, it's preach the Word of God. It's taking the week to prepare for what God wants me to share with you. And the second thing is, this is the toughie. I think we can all do it, though. We can pray. So valuable. How many of you prayed for these people that have been struggling in life? I know personally, I don't know all of you. I know Jim. Man, I was praying. Because I know prayer works. I know God listens. So I know I can preach. I know I can pray. Now, this is when it gets kind of challenging, because life's full of challenges. Now I've got to take my game to the A level, and I got to share Jesus with people. I lost you. I lost half of you. You're like, you're the preacher, man. That's your job. Eek. No, it's not. It's our job. It's teamwork. Greatest basketball coach in junior high. I very rarely saw this guy get mad. He ran us to death. We were in shape. He was a great coach. But I remember one time in the locker room, we were playing, don't take this the wrong way, but we were playing like a bunch of girls. Guys and girls were always, you know, but man, he came downstairs and he was firm, but he still had compassion, he still had love, but he was upset. We were getting beat. And I don't remember the team we were playing, Jim, but we went back out in that second half, and we just tore it up. We needed a motivation. We needed a reboot from our coach, and he did it. That's life. It's about reboots. And so if I can preach, if you can study God's Word, and if you can pray, if I can pray, I think we can all help by sharing Jesus, give him a reboot. People need to know that you care. They do not care what you know. They just want to know you care. We can do that. Can we not do that, church? Can we not share Jesus with people? Can we not invite people? You know, it's simple. Kingdom building is effortless. It's one of the easiest things we can do in life. And how many of you today would be willing to say, God, I am willing to pray daily. I am willing to share Jesus every opportunity that opens up. Because kingdom building is the most important thing to me. Why? Because it's the most important thing to you. It's what I do. You know, there's a tremendous difference between making the statement that I will be obedient, God, no matter what you ask me to do. God, I'm on board. I want in the ark. I'm willing to do whatever you ask me. There's a difference between making the statement that I will do what you want me to do and I am willing to serve you, God, as long as you don't ask me to do something I'm uncomfortable with. God wants each of us to step out on faith and make daily decisions to serve, to know him. There's nothing he wants more. And some of these decisions that we make, they draw us closer to God. Man, it's like today I wake up, I'm more spiritual than I was yesterday. Because I'm focusing on you, God. I'm there. I want to serve. And then some of the decisions that we make take us farther away. You know, well, I'm not going to do my devotion until I get on and check the old stock market. Ooh, I got lots of money today. No, you don't. God gave you money today. You see, we get confused very easy. Technology, friend or foe. The freedom of decision making. Which brings me back to the original question I asked is, what is God asking you to do? You know, he wanted you here today for a reason. Question, are you a Noah? Are you living life safely inside the ark? That was the best place to be at that time. Or are you living with the world outside the ark, fighting against the storms? Are you trying your best to live in the ark, or are you fighting against the ark outside? Because there's soon coming a time when, guess what? The door's going to close. You got to quit. The world needs to quit mocking God. The world needs to understand the importance of what this book says. This book is true. It is accurate. Everything that from Genesis all the way back to Revelation is taking place. This book has been in existence longer than Stephen King. This book has been in existence the longest ever. Are you seizing the moment and studying it? Are you reading it, or is it a table level, you know? It's God's word. It's God's... God speaks through this book. And one thing that I found out through living life and studying the book is I'll read a scripture 6 months prior, 3 months prior, and I'll be like, well, that's God's word. That's awesome. But then I'll open it up again, and I'll read it, and I'll go, holy cow, I never saw that. Wow, something else comes to life. It's living. It's truth. It's accurate. And what is God asking you to do? I mean, I'm not the sharpest tack in the box. And once again, Jim, I'm picking on you. Jim would say, I agree. I had him in school. But this I know. God is not calling everyone to preach from the pulpit. I get that. God might be asking you to simply meet Jesus today. You might be that adult that thought your entire life you knew about Jesus and you knew who he was. But it finally clicked that you need to ask for forgiveness in your life and you need to personally ask him in, and then life change begins. You might be that person here, a kid that says, I'm ready to ask Jesus into my life. Vacation Bible school was great. I get it now. I don't know where you're at. Maybe you're here to meet Jesus, and praise God for that. Amen, church. Yeah. Or you might even be here ready to take your relationship that you have. It's a personal relationship. It's not religion. Don't get confused. It's relationship. God, me, morning, prayer, devotion, coffee. You know what I mean? It's a relationship. And you might be ready to take that to the next level. I was so thrilled. Where are you? Richard, is that right? He opened the door for me today. He wasn't sleeping during church, Kevin. My buddy from Texas, we talked about that. Thank you for being there today. God sees the heart. It's a willingness to say, oh, I never even thought about that. Absolutely. You made my day. You were in my notes and you didn't even know it. You know, you might want to serve in a leadership position at the church. You're ready for that next level. You say, I think I can do more. You might be a greeter. Amen. You might want to teach a Sunday school class. Be part of the worship team. Be a groundskeeper. Be the janitor. Be the administrator of the church. Teach at VBS for the first time ever. Oh, man, I love it when stuff like that happens. I love VBS. That's what was so encouraging for me as a pastor, to come in here and see props. Man, we have, Sheila and I and the kids, we built so many incredible props. And it's so exciting to me to know you guys do that. Because I don't want him to get a big head. But guess what? We changed the girls and Owen's life forever this past week. Do you get it? It's not about us. It's the others. If you know Jesus, it's not about you anymore. It's about the Owens. I mean, first of all, I would have got sick spinning around that many times. But I love the excitement. I want it back in my life. And guess what? It happens when you say, Jesus, I've made a lot of mistakes. I need you in my life. And man, is he there for you. You know, maybe you're taking it to the next level. God's asking you to open a study in your house, a small group study. I don't know what God is asking you this morning. Here's what I do know. God is either waiting or wanting you to, God is either wanting you to know him, or he's asking you to do something. So he wants you to ask him into your life, or he says, guess what? I've got something for you to do. Here's the thing. Quit waiting on God. He's waiting on us. I think I shared with you guys when God was calling me in the ministry years ago, back in the late 90s. 2 years I stalled. I knew God was wanting me to go to church or to Bible college to be a preacher, but I despised school. I knew I struggled all the way through school. I didn't apply myself in school. So I avoided it, and 2 years I stalled. And finally, the day that I went to Sheila, I was scared to death to tell her. I mean, we'd been married for years, and I said, Sheila, I hate to even share this, but I think God wants me to be a preacher. Praise God, she said. We have been praying for you for years. I was like, okay, I guess what we do now? Well, you got to go to visit a college and get ready for the greatest journey of your life. So we did. You know, God is waiting on us, not the opposite. And the need for God in this world is so obvious. It's all around us. You know, as a church, my heart breaks for those families that got affected by that terrible tragedy, that wreck. My first thought was, oh my gosh, they're so young. Did they know Jesus? I hope and pray they do. Out of our control at this point. But what we can do is pray and minister to those families. I mean, prayer is a very powerful tool, church. Just because they don't go to church here does not mean that God does not know who we're praying for. We have a job to do as a team. It's about the others. It's those outside the church. And these are the people we need to be concerned with. John 12:46 says, I have come into the world as light, so that whoever believes in me may not remain in darkness. You see, before Jesus, we're living in darkness. After Jesus, it's all about light. Things become revealed. Scripture opens up and you see things. It makes sense. There is soon coming a day when having the opportunity to share the light of Jesus with the others will cease. We don't know when that day is, and I guarantee you this. Those four young boys had no idea it was their day. They were having the time of their life in that car. And then in the moment, a second's timing, guess what? The ark was closed. Breaks my heart. We all know people that need Jesus, church. There's not one of you here today that can say, I don't know anybody. I know better. We all know people who need Jesus. And this I know. Don't forget your ABCs. You can share that with anybody. Gene, when you're farming and you're in the grain lines, man, harvest season, you've got the testimony, man. It's all about testimony. You can share what God did for you with somebody, and keep it short. Don't say, well, I was created back in 1916 and then 1917. No, keep it simple. It's simple. Man, before Jesus was in my life, I was a wreck. I didn't know who Jesus was. I went to church all my life. And then later in life, the light bulb went on. I understand that I'm a sinner. I make mistakes in life. So I personally asked Jesus into my life. I prayed the prayer, asked Jesus into my life, and he forgave me. And I'm saved. I'm never going to lose that. And from that moment on, I've been living my life as honestly as I can. I still make mistakes. But God forgives me every time I pray. That's my testimony. Keep it short and sweet. And then when we're doing that, the people that we're talking to are like, oh, is that simple? Yeah, it's so simple a child can ask Jesus into your life. That's how tough it is. ABC, admit, believe, confess. Church, God wanted you to hear that today. I'm so grateful for this church, the years that you've reached out. Think about the lives you've changed through VBS, just through the years. Holy smokes, the difference we make. Amen.